time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Time for Abandoned Manitoba now, and I know you've been racking your brains for the past week thinking about last week's clue. Where in the province is there, or where in Winnipeg, is there a 117-year-old building that is waiting for salvation? Well, you don't need to rack your brains anymore because Gordon Goldsborough is here, hopefully, with the answer. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadja. And indeed, I do have the answer.
Okay, just as well, because then we'd have nothing to talk about for the next 10 minutes. Now, when we're talking about salvation, are we talking spiritual salvation?
Well, yes, indeed. Okay. But it also involves another salvation, the saving something from destruction. So there's sort of a double meaning here. What we're getting at is this building we're talking about at the corner of Rupert Avenue and King Street, here in Winnipeg, in the sort of the downtown core, the area we sometimes call Chinatown, was once home to the Winnipeg branch of the Salvation Army.
So the social agency Salvation Army.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, they do all kinds of good works in terms of society's less advantaged people. But it's also worth remembering that it is also a Protestant Christian religion. It goes back to England in 1865, and the members of the clergy of this religion hold ranks similar to those of military forces. You have the general, the lieutenant, the major, and so on.
So when did the Salvation Army arrive in Winnipeg?
Well, Winnipeg really began to grow in 1881. There was a big boom. And so, of course, inevitably, when you have a booming city, you have social ills that accompany it. So the Salvation Army perceived there was an opportunity for it here. It arrived in December of 1886, an initial delegation of six people. And within weeks, they were obviously meeting some success. So they wrote back to the headquarters in Toronto. And there's a certain element of hyperbole here. They said, "Send more officers over to help us. Thermometer 30 degrees below. Salvation boiling over. The whole Northwest a blaze of salvation." So clearly they were having some impact on the community here.
I do like that phrase, salvation boiling over. Very understated, you know.
Yes.
Did the Salvation Army work anywhere else but in Winnipeg?
Well, yeah, they did have satellite facilities in various larger communities, like places like Brandon, Emerson, Minnedosa, Morden, Neepawa, and Portage. But it was predominantly an urban-focused organization. And of course, because much of Manitoba was quite rural, it meant that the Salvation Army was really occupied mostly with the larger urban centers. And of course, Winnipeg being the largest one was the center of its activities.
Where were they based in Winnipeg?
Well, in the first few years, they actually moved around several locations that they operated. But they decided they needed a permanent facility. So in 1892, they purchased a former Baptist church that sat at the corner of Rupert and King. And they used that for a number of years, but it very quickly became too small for what they needed. So rather than move to another location, they decided they would simply rebuild on that same spot. So that old church was demolished. They put out tenders in 1900. And the building that we see today was built in 1901. It was a three-story sort of brick and stone facility. It had, one of the defining features of it had two very large public halls. One of them that would take 900 people, that's a pretty big space. And then there was another one with about room for about 250 people. And then in addition to that, some people will recall that one of the defining features of the Salvation Army is they often have a band, that they perform. And so there was a band room, there had dressing rooms. There was office space for the various officers of the army. And the whole point of this building, and it was called a citadel, mainly to sort of pick up on the military theme. A citadel is typically a fortress on high ground. And so the symbolism was that this building would be the fortress from which good works would emanate.
So they were really putting down roots in Winnipeg.
Indeed they did. And they were involved in all kinds of good works. In fact, in the early years, their work was focused in three main areas. Maternity care. And so they would do things like they would rescue women who had been left destitute when the man who had made them pregnant disappeared. They opened a hospital, the Grace Hospital here in Winnipeg. Not the present Grace Hospital in the west end of the city, but in fact a location in the Wolseley area in 1904. So that's the first area. The second area is they assisted immigrants who were arriving. And then the third area was they supervised parolees and their families after they had left prison. And for example, they would put them to work cutting wood that they would use to sell to people who were buying wood to heat their homes. So these are sort of the areas in which they worked. And then in later years, they began sort of working in the area of the care and rehabilitation of alcoholics. So they opened what would became known as the Harbor Light Center for alcoholics, sort of a detox center.
So when did the Salvation Army move out of this, the Citadel?
Well, the beginning of the end probably could be dated to around 1961, and that's when they opened a new Citadel, a new Salvation Army headquarters over on Colony Street, north of Portage Avenue, that they're still at today. Meanwhile, the Harbor Light remained in the original building over there on Rupert until 1986, and that's when they opened a new facility over just a few blocks over on Henry Avenue. And so the building at that point was closed, 1986, and it's been empty ever since.
What happened to the old Citadel building?
Well, after sitting empty for a couple of decades, it was purchased by a prominent businessman here in Winnipeg in 2002. He, in turn, donated it to a local Indigenous environmental group, and they announced fairly grand plans. They were going to redevelop the old Salvation Army building along with a building immediately beside it. They were going to combine the two buildings. They were going to link them together. They were going to make it into what they described as Canada's most environmentally sustainable building. It was going to be a showpiece of environmental technology. The plan was ambitious. They thought it was going to take about $5 million to do it. They received a small grant from Center Venture here in Winnipeg that involved, well, they said, the removal of a vast amount of pigeon droppings that accumulated in the time that it was empty.
What happened to this building? Did it materialized? Because I don't recall seeing it.
Well, you're right. No, it never did happen, unfortunately. They spent apparently something in the order of $100,000 in cleaning up the old building.
Was that just on the pigeon droppings? Or
I hope not.
Because that's a lot of pigeon
droppings. That's a lot of pigeon droppings. But no, I think they did other work as well. In fact, they went in, they cleaned it up, they prepared, the architects went in and sort of made a drawing of what they intended to do. Unfortunately, in 2006, they ran afoul of a new bylaw that the city had come up with that was aimed at thwarting arson that would often happen in these vacant buildings. So they were, for example, told they had to repair the roof, they had to install stairs inside, they had to cover holes in the floors that had developed. And the cost of these added to the already growing cost of this building, which by that time had already risen to $7 million. And I have a suspicion, although I don't know for a fact, that it was simply the high costs of this whole project that doomed it. So in May of 2010, the building was put up for sale again, and the asking price was just a little shy of $500,000.
What's the present state of the Citadel?
Well, in June of 2010, a local conservation architect and also a local historian, a friend of mine, had an opportunity to tour the inside. They found, for example, in one of the floors was a huge burn hole through the floor where somebody had lit a bonfire inside the building and it left a hole going all the way through the bottom. So they had to be very careful where they walked because they could conceivably fall right to the bottom. Despite the cleanup that had happened earlier, a few years, they said that there was already, again, a fairly substantial accumulation of pigeon droppings. They said the smell in there was simply atrocious. But there were remnants of those original halls. For example, the architect told me that he had seen a large map of the globe on the back of the stage where this big hall had been that showed the various Salvation Army facilities around the world. But the building, say, it was put on the market in 2010. It was sold again in 2011. And at some point, the entire interior was gutted. And I'm told that now the building is just basically an empty shell. But the concern that was expressed back then was that perhaps this was an example where they were going to let the building degrade until it was no longer salvageable and then demolish it. But in fact, the building does have municipal heritage status, which means that it is protected from demolition. So I suppose, going back to my initial clue, it is still waiting for salvation.
Back full circle. Gordon, thank you so much for this. And can you give us the clue for next week?
Well, listeners may recall that a few weeks back, we discussed buildings in limbo, you know, buildings that were for one reason or another no longer in use, but were waiting for some new use. And I focused around Winnipeg, and I said we would be then moving eventually to outside Winnipeg. So that's what we're going to do next week, buildings in limbo outside Winnipeg. And in fact, if any listeners have suggestions for such buildings, please do contact me, and I maybe will be able to talk about them next week. You can leave me a phone message at 204-474-7469.
Gordon, thank you for this week.
You're welcome.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many